I want you to imagine that you're in a tranquil, peaceful place. A place that you feel safe. A place that you can identify with. If you're not looking at the video, then what are you looking at? Take some deep breaths and try and move in to now in this present moment. Are you sitting on a chair? If so, feel your body sitting on the chair, your feet on the ground, or you might be lying down. Let's take some deep breaths into your center and feel the rising of your tummy. Exhale and inhale. Try and put your right hand and cup it over your chest, over your heart, as if you're soothing yourself, just holding yourself in your center. In every exhale, let go of the despair. Breathe it out and inhale a new sense of self in. Let go of the despair. Let go of the abandonment. Go with the panic. If you feel rejected, if you feel deserted, try not to blame yourself. Don't obliterate yourself with that little critic of self-blame and self-abhorrence. Know that even if you have been rejected, no matter how terribly, terribly painful it is, even the most famous, beautiful people have been rejected. It wouldn't make sense if I said, don't take it personally, because that person had all that you are, all that you were. Just take some deep breaths and breathe into that pain of primal abandonment. Just let your abandonment go, even just for this exercise. Just breathe into it and let it go. Know that that abandonment in you has been lingering for a long, long time. The hurt, the despair, the desolation, let it go. As if you're surrendering to something higher and clearer, which is you. Know that this pain and anxiety is a temporary place. So just for now, Take some good deep breaths in and let it go as if you feel it dispersing into the air, melting all around you. Melting all around you. As the helplessness and dependency from childhood just begins to take us over when we're going through abandonment. But right now, just let it go. You're bigger than your fears. Don't let it saturate you. Don't let the abandonment and desertion that's been lingering historically for years and years. Just let it go for now. Just feel it dissipating. Feel it melting as you breathe and exhale. If you have your right hand or left hand over your chest, feel it rising and falling. Rising and falling. Know that there is only the power of now. Only the power of this moment. At this moment, no thoughts have any other power over you other than your listening to your own breath. You're inhaling and exhaling. Now I want you to imagine that for this exercise that you're walking into a love addiction abandonment group. You're walking in to a love addiction and abandonment recovery group. I want you to imagine that it's 1 month on from where you are now. So time is suspended for the time being. You are 1 month on from where you are now. And you have joined a recovery program for abandonment and love addict sufferers. People that experience the debilitating effects of rejection and abandonment. You know at this group that there will be 12 participants, 6 men and 6 women. It's the day before you go to the group and you are 1 month on. You're feeling hopeful, excited on some level. Maybe there is help for me. Maybe I really will come through this and begin to live again. In order to get to this group, it's in a place at least 100 miles from where you live. So you're going to set up off early in the morning and either drive there or get a train. And you say to yourself, this is the beginning of my renewal. This is the beginning of my life, my new life without the pain. This is the beginning for me to really understand what's happened out of this and after this disaster, this collapse, this place where I've been. So you're really looking forward to going there. You get up in the morning, you do your usual regime that happened before the desertion, rejection, or abandonment occurred. So already just the hope that lies ahead has released you into something. As you drive there, or maybe you're on a train, I want you to imagine and write down when you stop for a break. If you're on a train, you can write this in a book, in your journal, on the train. And the title's going to be, What I Expect from This Recovery Program. What do I expect from this group that I'm going to go to? That's all you write. But already you're beginning to take steps in the right direction. I want you to imagine what the building is like where this recovery program is, where you're going to meet these 12 participants in this group. Is it an old building? A new building? Is it a retreat? Is it in the wilderness or a city? Wherever you are, wherever you dream to be or imagine, try and fledge that image out. Expand your imagination out, far, far outwards. Is the building ornate? Does it have a garden? Is it on a landscape? Is the sun shining? Is it bleak? Is it cold? Is it raining? Is it spring? Autumn? Summer? Or winter? I want you to imagine that you're a little nervous, but you're going to open a door that's going to take you into this building. And as you open that door, you know that this is the beginning of something. Already, you can feel some of the pain of abandonment and panic just slowly dropping, just slowly. Remember, this is something you are doing for you. When you sit in the group, it's very quiet. And you look around at all the other participants, that are there for exactly the same reasons. And one by one, you listen to their stories. Just their stories, not from way back, in the here and now. One woman utters that she was deeply, deeply in love with someone who she'd been with for 5 years. But the more she kept trying to hold on to him, the more jealous she got, the more demanding she got, the further away he got. Until she became deeply sick. Profuse texting, emailing, phone calls, until in the end, he started to turn the phones off, stopped texting. The problem is, I believe in every relationship, that the more we fear abandonment, the more we fear rejection, because perhaps that person isn't good for us, isn't healthy for us. They may be emotionally unavailable. They may have always been emotionally unavailable. But that one trigger of unavailability lies the path for something that can lead into the most terrifying sense of unrequited love, which leads to abandonment and rejection. And of course, insecurity. You know, some people just aren't good for us. And that doesn't have to be a judgment. But yet, many love relationships are built with these unconscious triggers, that somebody might trigger us in some way that can spark off another world that we hardly had access to. But deep, deep down, in very, very early childhood and our primary relationships, we do know what abandonment feels like. If we've experienced it, and that's what the trigger is. Then as the group begins to speak, a man speaks about why he's there. He says, "I've never really been able to keep a relationship. I've only had about two." This man was in his 40s. And then I got married. I have two lovely children. My wife suddenly one day told me that she wanted to live her life now, that she wanted to go off and study the arts and religion. And she said she was leaving me. We were childhood sweethearts. I've known her since I was 17. She was all that I had, all that I knew, and the mother of my children. And now, she's gone. And I don't know how to go on without her, he says. And then another woman in the group said to him, "Why do you think you're here today then?" And he said to learn to survive without her. Because since she's been gone, she's thrived and getting qualifications and lives far, far away and visits the children often at the weekend. And I feel that I'm delete, that I have nothing to give. Let alone know who I am. I'm unable to work. I feel like I'm unable to function without her. And the more independent she is, the more dependent I am on her. And the whole thing just spirals around and around. So each one of the people in the group spoke about why they were there. As you listen to each person's story, he said, she said, he said, "I love too much." He said, "I love her more than my own life." She said, "I don't think I can go on without him. I played games. I pretended I was going out with somebody else, hoping it would make him jealous. But he never got jealous. And that did it for me," she said. So from all that he said and she said, what I want you to do now is imagine sharing with the rest of the group finding just one person and sitting in front of that one person that you've chosen in the group. Get your chairs to face together and say to this one person, who in fact is a stranger, say to this one person five things that you like about yourself. Five things you like about yourself. Necessarily what you like about yourself since you've been in this very painful and despairing place, but five things you like about your person, yourself, now, as you look back at how you used to be prior to all of this. Keep thinking of five things. Just very slowly think of what it is that you liked about yourself prior to what's happened to you now. Remembering your 1 month on. Now I want you to think of a reachable, successful goal that might be possible. A successful goal that might be possible. Just keep speaking to your partner that's facing you. Your partner that's facing you asks, how do you think you might go about that, achieving that goal? How do you think you might go about achieving that goal? Then she says, what would you have to do to make that goal reachable? And this could be about your work, your creative life, a project. It could be about anything, but it has to do, everything to do with what it is that you can imagine would be conceivable. As you sit there, your partner that's sitting across from you acknowledges what you have said. She empathizes with you. You feel mirrored by her. You feel that she is absolutely understood and been present with you. Now I want you to switch roles and listen to what she is saying to you. What she says to you, or he, depends if you're with a man or a woman, what he or she says to you is, I want to feel I can wake up one morning and then another and another without the first false thought being the person that's abandoned me. How do you feel when she says that to you? Do you identify with her? Do you understand what she's going through? So you begin to move into a conversation with her, feeling that you truly would want that for yourself. Imagine waking up in your center one morning. Not only do you have a sense of where you are going and what is achievable, but more so that your first thought isn't the person that's rejected you or abandoned you. That's no longer your first thought. Then your partner says to you, what do you think the first step is to make that goal possible for your future? Think about how you might answer her. Say those words to yourself. What do you think would be an achievable goal for your future that might give you a rich sense of yourself? as you ask the question to your partner, what do you think you would have to do so that the first thought in the morning when you first wake up isn't the thought of the partner that's rejected you? What do you think you would have to do, you ask her. And she says, or he says, well, I would say that it wouldn't be any different to your affirmation. That if I preoccupy myself with something for me-ness, something that can make me grow, something that would make me feel that I have my own validation and my own sense of achievement and accomplishment, I think he or she could fade away, and so they wouldn't be the first thing I think about in the morning. Slowly, you move back into the group. It's been a long day, and you've heard many, many people's stories. You've talked about abandonment, game playing, rejection, control, guilt, shame, chronic vulnerability. You've heard so many words. So you are now preparing to go back 100 miles back home. It's been a worthwhile day. A day that you will never forget. And it took you a long time to get there, and you drove or got a train for 100 miles. You got on a train knowing that it was 100 miles away. But what was it that gave you that aspiration or inspiration to do this journey? What was it? It was the hope of what would happen when you got there. It was the hope that this could change your life, that you could find a center, that you could find that strength inside of yourself to conquer this extreme helplessness and powerlessness in you. It was the hope and the persistence and the inspiration that I don't have to be like this. And it wasn't meant to be like this. By some synchronicity or coincidence, you managed to find somebody that was going to trigger this primal fear and anxiety in you. And you know, just after today, you getting yourself to that seminar or workshop and going all that way on a train or driving in your car tells yourself that you can do it, that there is hope, and that you don't see this at the moment. But suffering can burn dry. It would sound crass and esoteric if I was going to say that suffering is there for a reason, because we certainly don't think that at the time. And so I'm not even going to say that. But one step at a time, and you're in your imaginary world. You got there today, and you persevered with it, and you actually gained something from it. It allowed you to understand something in more depth. It gave you something to hold on to. It gave you the knowledge, the tools to understand what's happening to you. When you feel like a little baby in a cradle that's just been put out into the wilderness in a tiny crib or a box and just left there wailing. I know what it feels like. And there is hope. And even if somebody doesn't come to pick you up, you can find the arms and the hands and the silver hands that I've spoken about in my other exercise, and hold on to that rock, that center that you are, and you will come through this time. Once again, this anxiety and separation anxiety calls from an insecure attachment. Anxious attachment is temporary. It won't last forever. Have faith and hold on to the fact that even in your imagination, you got yourself to that workshop today, and you heard the stories of many men and women, and what he said, what she said, and what you said. So take some deep breaths and slowly come back to the here and now. And never give up hope. Just watch those clouds in the video and feel yourself moving further and further into your own center, where you have all your own autonomy, all your own independence, all your own sense of separateness to survive this infliction of the heart.